Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and I'm joined by Squeaks today.
Squeaks.
I know, right? I was throwing you off. I was
the just amount of anxiety. I mean, it's. I got to talk to a therapist about it. Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
Today, we're going to be talking about a big change for Apple. They're going to be adding some ROMs. We're going to be talking about Star Trek Discovery and Invincible Season 2. We're going to be talking about a new Matrix and an historic comic book sale. But first, Squeaks, I got a question for you, man. If you could live in any comic book city, which city would it be?
I had to think long and hard about this one, and thinking about it does get me long and hard. So that would be the Mascara. Okay. Throw me into that bitch. All right. Yeah. You know, so I know. Yeah. I'm not supposed to be there. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Okay. This is.
It generally is a safer one too. Answer. Actually, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to think too. Like, right. It's a hidden area. Full of beautiful women. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's less problems because you do look at these cities and you're like, man, all of these are shit. You know, I mean, like. Yeah. Damn, do I really just want to like, it's like one day I'll wake up to my house and next thing is Superman threw a car and it hit my, you know, front yard and I'm just sitting there at 1 a.m. in the morning staring at the flashing lights from the car. I'm just like, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Yeah. What am I supposed to do with this?
Got to get like Hulk insurance.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, definitely going with the Mascara. Can't go wrong there, right?
I went the other way with it. I was like, screw it. Let's embrace the danger. I went with Mega City 1. Judge Dredd, but what I want one of the hell? Upper okay. apartment. I want one of the upper apartments because if you watch the first movie with Sylvester Stallone, and he like goes and gets that judge or whatever, they fuck up that one judge. Okay. He's got a beautiful place. It's a great view. It's really nice. Okay, as long as I'm not with the poor people in the bottom, I'm fine.
Oh man, yeah.
And then the judges look cool. That's let's funny. Be honest.
That's why. Right. Yeah, I watched that second movie not too long ago, or the remake, I guess. Yeah. It was entertaining. It was entertaining.
Yeah, solid flick.
Yeah. Interesting.
Matter of fact, that director's got a new movie coming out called Civil War. You guys check that out. And we're doing A24 month over challenge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So we asked our people over on Threads and Twitter. We're going to go with the thread responses for this one. So Stephen Bucky says, Coast City. He wants to try to become a Green Lantern, and he thinks that's his best bet.
Oh, yeah. Badass. Yeah.
That's a good one. Dakota got it right. Dakota just says, wherever Supergirl's at, I'm there.
See, you give me Power Girl and I'm there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kiro Gordon said, Themyscira with you. That was a good move.
Yeah.
Now, this might be a good one, too. Thomas says, Krakoa, where all the mutants are hanging out, chilling and being cool. And it's an island nation, different. Too.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Because I almost went with X-Men. But specifically in Professor X's, like, you know, Academy.
Yeah.
The fact that I give you some of that rogue action, you know, like.
Oh, I know.
I'm trying to get this.
I'm loving X-Men 97, too. I'm all about X-Men.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Seven Ghost Pepper says Asgard, which is probably the right answer. I mean, as long as you're there before Surtur breaks loose for fun.
I was going to say, like, new Asgard or old Asgard. Okay.
Yeah, old Asgard, but like back in time. I want Odin in charge again. And then the last one we'll go with, there's more of them, guys. Check it over on Threads and Twitter for more responses. Will and Tracker says Metropolis in Superman the Animated Series, which is like a really, like, that's probably the best version of Metropolis. I think it's the least destroyed.
Yeah.
It's not the Zack Snyder Metropolis that's leveled every other week. That's pretty good. All right. Let's just do some real quick around the network stuff, guys. We have a brand new Patreon episode, Side Quest, that just came out yesterday as of the release of this. We also have a new challenge accepted coming out yesterday. It's all about Ex Machina, part of the A24 month. Giving away one of those directors' A24 hats over there, guys. Check out Twitter and all those. Outlast Podcast doing their thing. Who's Got Next Game Podcast released an episode recently. And then the main thing I want to make sure to mention is that we have two conventions coming up. So if you're in the Sacramento area, please come out and hang out with us. We would enjoy it. We have Capital Creative Showcase coming out starting April 20th. Come over, play video games. We're going to have prizes and stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And meet the local developers of this area, game developers. And then on May 4th, Star Wars Day, we have the Rancho Cordova May 4th esports event. And that's going to be a brand new event. It's their inaugural event. And we're going to be meeting a lot of the video game developers, the esports athletes in the area, and the 501st are going to be out there, so you can meet some stormtroopers. And you bet I'm going to be getting some pictures with them, because it's going to be doing selfies with stormtroopers all day long. So come hang out with us, guys. It'll be really a lot of fun. Are you ready to get into some news?
Always. Always. That's why I'm here, sir.
All right. Let's start off with Apple. Apple is going to be allowing, this is a brand new update from Apple, they're going to be allowing for emulators and ROMs on their phones. This is because in the European Union, they made it to where they want a third-party installation program to be able to download apps. And to kind of get ahead of that worldwide, they're going to allow emulators on the phones. They just have to keep within the law. So basically, like, you can't steal a ROM, quote-unquote, but, you know, the emulator will be there, so you do you. What do you think about this? Are you an emulator player?
No, but I really want to get into it, right? My fear is, am I downloading the right stuff to get that emulator? Granted, have I done my extensive research? No, I mostly call you and be like, hey, can you just send me something that works, right?
Yeah.
But I think this is, I mean, it could branch out. So a lot of these video game type companies, for example, like ROG, right? They make a phone. Mm-hmm. Razer's had a phone before. So it gives that opportunity for Apple to be somewhat to pull that, I would say, minority of people that have those type of phones. And maybe others, like with other Android devices. But they've shown before what they can do. And that's, for example, the Resident Evil Village was displayed at one of these Apple conventions about the power of the iPhone 15.
Yeah.
Granted, I haven't really seen that yet. I don't think it's been released. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I definitely tried looking for it once. So it's like, well, if you're going to get an emulator, I mean, come on, man. Like, get me Pokemon to go on my phone. Like, that's all I care about. Like,
it's amazing how much that's the game people want. I just want to play
Red Blue again, you know?
Yeah. Leaf Green and Fire Red seems to be, like, the most emulated games.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
look on, like, I'm not going to tell you guys where to go, but if you look at ROM sites and stuff like that, that's always number one and two, is Leaf Green, Fire Red. And everybody's just wanting those on their phones. So I almost think, like, if Apple were to make a deal with Nintendo to just release those games and maybe a select few, they'd be done. Because personally, like, I'm at the point now, I'm playing Scarlet right now. I mostly want to fill up my Pokemon Home account. So I don't necessarily want to play ROMs anymore for Pokemon because I'm saving them all. I'm, like, specifically getting the right stats and stuff like that. So for me, it's a little different. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There's definitely Kirby and stuff like that on the go. I'd be definitely playing all those for sure.
Yeah. I mean, going from even like Wario to even like Yoshi's Story from Super Nintendo, you know, like, these things can most definitely be handled on these phones, and especially with the size of the screen. I think it'll work out. Hopefully accessing these emulators though will be an ease, you know?
Yeah.
That's for me, at least.
Apple users, it needs to be easy, because otherwise they're not into the doing the crazy programming, hacking your jailbreaking your phone. Like, that's purposely what Apple users are against. What's the most advanced game you've ever played on your phone?
Oh, damn, that's a good question.
While you think about it, I'll do mine.
Shit.
Knights of the Old Republic. I played Knights of the Old Republic all the way through on the phone.
No way.
Yeah, and it played great.
How are you? Did you? That was an emulator? Or no, you probably buy
no,
that.
No, I actually
now, right?
downloaded the actual app and played it all the way through. Yeah. No, it was my second time playing game, so I kind of knew generally what to do. But yeah, that's a thick ass game. It's like 20 hours gameplay.
Yeah. I'm not like a game playing enthusiast. But let's just talk about like some of the ones that I had right now that I think is probably the most extensive. I actually enjoy requires online. So I think just having that connection with others and on top of like the smoothness and the graphics would be Pokemon Unite, which is basically the MOBA.
How does that play?
I actually enjoy it quite a bit. It makes me to where like you could download it free on your Switch, but there's really no need to. I think it's totally perfect on my phone. I have no desire to switch. Run smooth, graphics good. I mean, it's
I wish
a
it was
fun
on PC's my only thing.
Online game. Yeah, but they made it so simple to where like it's just limited like three moves, if anything. So it just works fine without having an extensive like amount of buttons. So I would say Pokemon Unite. Yeah, I can't think of anything that I played that was on the Knights of the Old Republic style, you know.
I'm gonna
or
have
size,
to play
whatever.
That. I'm going to have to try that out, because I was just looking at that on the Switch, actually. Funny that you brought that part
up.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I think, yeah. I know it's not announced for it, but I know I'll probably get it on the mobile once it is, because NCSoft will definitely put it out there, is that Marvel Rivals they just announced, the Marvel Overwatch game.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that's going to go to mobile, and I think that'll play well on mobile, too. Really? I'll probably play that, too.
Yeah, especially with, NetEase? I mean, NetEase, all they really do is mobile. So I think that'll probably make sense for them, really.
Yumi are going to have to dominate on that thing like we do on Overwatch. What's that coming?
We dominate everything we do, so. Yeah.
The only reason democracy hasn't spread past Super Earth very far is because I'm not playing, and that's what it is. If you were to play that game right now, democracy would reign supreme, and the automatons would be gone. Yeah,
there really wouldn't even be a game to play anymore, so.
Yeah, it's what I'm doing. I'm saving people from not being bored.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next story here. Cody Rhodes successfully defeats Roman Reigns over at WrestleMania 40. Did you have a chance to
watch
this?
Your tribal chief. Your tribal chief, okay? God damn it, get it right.
Cheater.
Yeah, of course I did. Of course I did.
What do you think of this match? This is a storybook finish. What do you think of this?
Yeah, so the match, I would say, was more fun, right? Right. So when you had, let's see, you had... my God, I watch this every fucking week and now I'm brain farting because they're asking me these questions. Oh my God. Jimmy Uso, right?
Okay.
And his cousin Stepin to cheat again. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm forgetting their names. Stepin, you're like, fuck, here we go. No, this is a no rules match. You're going to cheat again. But to see Seth Rollins try to pop back up in his what's it called? The Shield outfit. Threw me off. I was like, is it because he lost two matches in the in WrestleMania that he's switching something up? But then I read that there was some backstory of when Roman Reigns kind of screwed him up in that same attire. So I think it was just paying homage to that with a chair. So we'll see if anything more comes out of that. That was interesting to me. But to have John Cena come out there, I need to clean up this couch right now. Okay. So, I'm getting messy over here, right? So
it was insane. I mean, you had Undertaker, The Rock. I mean, it was crazy. Cactus Jack, I think, popped up for a sec. Like, it's crazy how many people were out there. Yeah.
It was so weird when The Rock came out there. You're like, okay, now you got this like a rivalry again, John Cena and The Rock, and that ended quick. But then The Undertaker, you're like, one that was probably the most like interesting one was the Undertaker one, because I'm like, why, you know, like at least there was some, you know, previous altercations with the others, but that was just like, who else, like what else is gonna happen, you know?
Yeah
It was, I think for that case it was fun. I made it, because how were you going to top the night prior when it was the tag team match with Cody, Seth, and then The Rock and Roman Reigns, right? So with all these like extra stars coming out, it just made it that much. Yeah, probably took it to the next level. I think it was expected. There were other things in the night that were shocked me, actually. I always like to, you know, pretend to place money down to see like, okay, if this was the storyline, they could switch it here to do this, whatever. But it's neat to see the whole congratulatory, right? At the end, all the wrestlers in there. Yeah, like it was a huge deal.
Yeah. Especially, cool. I mean, we have the whole Dusty Rhodes thing and kind of finishing your dad's story and his AEW journey and coming back and kind of claiming. So it was really storybook. I almost think that they could make a movie about this. Yeah. I think it would make a really good movie.
Yeah.
Is Cody who you wanted to win, though?
Bro, I'm with the tribal chief.
I honestly am too. I was like, congratulations to all the fans, but. I wanted Roman Reigns.
But I think it was time, right? He had like over 1,300 days with it. So it's like, okay, how do we move on from here? I think we kind of maxed it out. I think they wrestled at last WrestleMania and Cody lost, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, what else can you do with Roman Reigns, right? So I think now that stuff has changed, my prediction is he'll take a break. He'll come back. Everybody will be like, oh no, he's back. What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And whatever. But now I'm interested to see, like, can Cody, I mean, he has a big following. What can he do to keep that following and make it interesting as a champion now?
So. Well, and I think it's interesting that him and Triple H, they had that handshake at the end. And I really felt like that was a real signifier of this kind of union between indie wrestling fans who were tired of the Vince McMahon era, which I think Roman Reigns is very much a product of the Vince McMahon era, and Triple H saying, like, hey, we're going to embrace the indie guys again. We're going to embrace diversity amongst, like, oh, we're not going to just pick a hero. You guys have to like the hero whether you like it or not. And kind of more like, hey, this is the history, legacy of wrestling. So I kind of felt like maybe we'll have a, I think Cody's kind of a signifying a new era for the WWE, essentially.
Yeah. You have to embrace these oddballs, right? These new ones, maybe, exactly. I would say, because you just don't know who's going to become that next guy. Right. So Cody has this massive following now. Roman Reigns was obviously not this whole tribal chief like thing he was in the beginning. So you just don't know. So there are younger guys, or not younger, I would say younger to the WWE. Like Ricochet is one that does a crazy amount of flips and toss. He's jumping out of the ring and he's fun to watch. And I think he's starting to get a bigger following because of that reason. He's always exciting. He wasn't at WrestleMania, but I feel like that's someone that I can see come up. So I don't know. Yeah, you just never know. You got to give these people a chance.
But I like the idea of giving them a chance.
See who sticks, right? Like,
yeah, I feel like with Vince McMahon and Roman Reigns, I think Vince picked Roman thinking like, oh, he's going to be the next Rock, and just kind of kept forcing him down the fans' throat. And that made it to where, I mean, really, he never had a chance because he felt like he really should have been a heel from day one. And I think Vince was trying to make him a hero, especially in the beginning. And now, I mean, obviously, post Vince McMahon, we bring in The Rock and he's the heel, the villain for everybody and stuff like you know, to a degree.
Yeah, he's
the
Rock.
But I think this is a good sign for the future of WWE. I felt like there was more hype for last night's WrestleMania than there's been, I mean, in years.
It's so crazy to watch watching wrestling and then WrestleMania, right? For the fact that, man, that stadium is so fucking packed, man. You got to think, that's got to be more than a normal football game because you got the whole field being filled up in those stands. It is wild how many people show up to this event.
Yeah.
It was like over 72,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm a wrestling fan. Like, I like the community and stuff like that. So I'll pay attention to kind of the main storylines, you know, the, you know, Cody stuff.
But
I don't necessarily get too deep into it just because, I don't got time. That's a lot of lore that they're building every single week.
Yeah. To me, I watch it, which is probably, it's something I don't talk about really. It's in the closet kind of thing for me now, right? It's not the 90s anymore, you know? So,
That's what I was really into.
It's my drama, you know. I don't really watch too much TV besides like some of these like big shows, but it's my drama. So
it's your soap operas.
exactly. It's my trash TV where I put it in the background and play with the girls, and then I can still pay attention.
Yeah. Let's move over to Star Wars. So we have a new movie that's like early writing phase, but I think it's gonna be super important for the Star Wars franchise as a whole, called Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi. James Mangold's already been tapped for this writing project. He just brought on Bo Willimon. Bo did the prison episodes for Andor. So the idea of this new Star Wars movie is going to be explaining basically the foundation of the Force. It takes place 25,000 years before the events of the main Star Wars story. So we're going to be kind of explaining the Force, discovering it, becoming a Jedi in the very first place. Do we need this movie, Squeaks?
Oh, it's tough, right? So the Force is always this mystery, right? And and now you think about this, you read this, do you think it should just be left as a mystery? When I think about this movie, I think it's cool to have some origin, but I also think of, can it be a bore? What is the conflict 25,000 years ago? You know, is there a conflict? Is it just maybe like a little something where someone discovering themselves in a way, right? I don't know, but it would be interesting to have a more elaborate information on the Force. But again, my fear is, can it be a bore? What do you think? Do you think this will be entertaining story at all, just outside of discovering the Force?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is what in discovering the Force is interesting? Like, it seems like, and you're right with the whole, like, the fact that it's a mystery is the fun. Everybody disliked when they started saying midichlorians. And it's because it's not that. It's supposed to be something that's like, you know, a little more spiritual. So trying to give it an origin story feels like we don't need to see that necessarily. But the 25,000 years in the past part kind of piques my interest. Because will we have a Star Wars that feels straight up medieval? Like, I don't even want lightsabers. I want swords. That kind of thing. Mm. That might be interesting there.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I would like to see the... yeah, that would be kind of cool, actually. Now you got me thinking of like that Batman Knight or Batman Knight, whatever.
Yeah, Dark Knight of Steel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be interesting. I'd be curious of what the conflict of villains, what's the deal with that? What would it be? What does it look like, that world? I wonder if they would transition into at all the High Republic era. This is obviously probably a lot farther behind.
It's way
but,
before. Yeah, it's
but I'm curious
4,000 like, years before that.
But I'm crazy if like, well, this will be a one-off and then we'll maybe like fast forward because now the Force has been discovered. Maybe that could be the next phase, because I would like to see maybe the High Republic on a big screen. So, and because I don't see this being an extended stay.
I think it's a test run because it can be an extended stay if this works.
You think so?
If this works, then they might just like, oh shit, we have a mid, like with the Marvel, when they want to do something in the past, they go with that 16 era. They might do that. They might make it to where like, oh, there's a whole area we can make a bunch of movies in if this lands. If it doesn't land, then it's a one-off.
Will it still feel like Star Wars then?
It doesn't need to. It could just be in the universe. Yeah. It doesn't need to feel like, just like with Marvel, like not everything feels like Avengers. Sometimes it feels like Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just not sold on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might be a little more sold on it than the new Rey movie, but that's about it.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't just go through. Okay.
I think it is, buddy. I think
along
it's
the road, let's just hope for some fails.
And now people are like, oh, maybe Finn will come back for us. Like, there's no effing way Finn's gonna come back to Star Wars. He was treated like shit so bad. He's not coming back for nothing. So
and you know what, man, just stay out of it too. We don't want we don't really want any of you guys to come back. So
100%. Let's be honest. If we're being real, they have to fully earn our trust again. And so I'm going into that movie being like, it's up to you. I'm going to Rebel Moon it. Like, I'm just going in with a blank slate and I'm going to be impressed or disappointed. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Let's not get another Death Star, you know? Okay. Number 3.
Yeah. We're going to, it's going to be something where there's like, oh, the Empire is faking out again. And they're over here building something.
Yeah. It's just the shape of a sphere again.
But a medieval story, 25,000 years in the past, would be interesting enough for me to be invested again. Because even the Old Republic's 1,000 years, and it's 25,000. So it's definitely before all space travel, probably.
Man, you think we'd get guns, though? Because that'd be cool if it was, like, swords and guns.
I'd be down for that, yeah.
Like a battlefield?
Why not? Why not just, like, this is the time. You are as not connected as possible. Just try something new. We could have suits of armor.
Let's think of this, though. If it's not guns, I'm thinking Bad Batch. Oracle has this bow with the... projected arrows or whatever, whatever that is. That'd be kind of cool to see some weapons like that that take a little bit more manual work to kind of perform.
I'm expecting all of that. Yeah, that seems a lot more possible in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so it probably won't be a big favorite for those who are like Star Wars purists that are looking for lightsabers, but it might be something that's needed. And my other thing that I'm interested in is how much will what they're building in this movie affect future movies, because if they say like, oh, the Force comes from this specific thing, then in all future Star Wars movies, are we going to always remember that the Force comes from that specific thing? That's a little bit iffy. It's like when Dave Filoni introduced that, like the I forget what it's called, like the space between space, whatever, basically this other. When he introduced that, you notice that they're like, let's not reference that too much because we know that that's a little bit too wackadoo, but it is there. So it's something you think about like, technically time travel can happen in Star Wars because of that now.
Interesting. Now, what's the opportunity of this being its own thing, kind of like the Batman with not being in the DCU?
I don't think that's very likely. I can't imagine Marvel ever doing that.
Okay.
I mean, not Marvel, Disney.
Yeah, I get you. I was just curious. Yeah, if maybe they want to, if this is too far in the past or whatever, that they'll want to stick with its own thing and keep this, maybe people might pick up on this whole medieval feel that you're selling and. Maybe keep that universe going, you know, on its own way.
I honestly hope it's good enough for them to do that. I just am worried that it might not be.
Yeah.
Hope to see. I am looking forward to, though, The Acolyte. Like, that to me was like, okay, let's see if we can make a Jedi samurai movie, but it's in Star Wars.
Yeah, the first thing I said, I was like, oh, man, we're going to get Star Wars doing Kung Fu. Like, that's probably pretty badass, you know?
They literally, so when you're watching it, you're like, oh, Trinity's kind of looking like Trinity in this, you know? And then like yeah. in a recent interview, they were literally like, yeah, she's designed to be Trinity. It's like, oh, perfect. They, you guys nailed the casting then.
Yeah. Did you look hard for this? Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Speaking of Trinity, we're getting a new Matrix movie. We have one of this. Lana's going to be producing it, but not directing it. It's going to be a brand new director. Okay. So at first I was like, just don't continue that last Matrix movie. That was so bad. I couldn't finish it in one sitting. And I love the damn Matrix movies in the world, but I think a reboot or at least a whole new story is good because I think the Matrix premise is super cool. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I had absolutely no hope for this. The last movie was horrible. It would be nice to maybe not a reboot, but something to get everybody back on a clean slate when it comes to the story.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that last movie was really fucking me up. I didn't know what was what anymore or how, whatever the route they took was garbage. So I would like to bring it back and kind of retell the Matrix. I don't need the full, Karate Kid, you know, story or whatever. Yeah. But something to kind of just a fresh start, like a DC rebirth. So,
yeah, it's just in this world. Put it, I mean, like, talk about, you could put it 1,000 years in the future. Nobody would know the difference. It's all post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just put 1,000 years in the future. Sure, whatever. But, like, we don't need a Mr. Smith. We don't need a Neo. Just give us this world. People are plugging in and out of 1999 again. I think that would be fun. And then the guy that's doing this now, Drew Goddard, who's going to be directing and writing this, he did Cabin in the Woods, which is fantastic, in my opinion. And he did The Martian, which is, like, a really well-crafted movie. So I think there's something here, like, where he could just, like, do the assignment. He doesn't need to get creative. Doesn't need to get super like video game developer-y of the last one. Just like, hey, here's some cool karate in you know, the internet or whatever.
Yeah. That story is so weird. It makes it feel like the internet like world is the legit. Now, what do you think? Did Ready Player One do it better? I want to ask you this.
Yes, Jonathan, who freaking loses his mind every time we say Ready Player One. Yeah, probably. That kid, I swear to God, every time he's on, I love him. Every time he's on, I'm like, oh, we're getting close. And he's like, that reminds me of Ready Player One, by the way.
Oh, man. And this gets me thinking, like, if there was an alternate universe that you could plug yourself in and out of, what would it be? Give it to me. I know, put you on the spot.
If John's going to mention Ready Player One every time, it's going to be me mentioning World of Warcraft every time. Plug me into Azeroth. I want to be on adventures.
For sure. Okay.
Big dragons. What about you?
Honestly, probably one of my favorite games is going to have to be Kingdom Hearts. Yeah. Exploring different planets, well, Disney Worlds or whatever.
Yeah.
And being a Keyblade Master, man, swinging my Keyblade all around on these Disney princesses, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But they gave us a little tease of what's to come in that, and they have not given us anything else. And that tease was like dramatically different. So,
didn't feel like a Kingdom Hearts thing anymore.
No.
So, I really, after three, really am scared of what's going to come.
Oh, boy. Three was rough. And after the success of Rebirth and just basically Final Fantasy VII Remake, I think they're going to be leaning in towards those games because those seemed like the future of Square Enix. Those were built.
Which I'm not mad about that. I mean, I love the Final Fantasy remake, 7. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. We also have some updates on Daredevil. We found out that the Punisher is returning for this as well. Now, for those of you who are like, oh, I don't know about this, yada yada yada, Punisher should be. I think this is a good sign for Marvel as a whole, because they filmed a lot of Daredevil. Kevin Feige saw it, said, no, this is crap. Let's try again. And now after that, we got Foggy and Karen returning. We have the Punisher returning. Kingpin's running for mayor, just like in the comic books. And it's like, this is a good sign saying like, hey, we know that Netflix did a good job. Let's just use it again. Instead of let's try to reinvent it and go to the quantum menace bullshit. Yeah. Like, no, that Netflix is good. What do you think about Daredevil coming back and the future?
Dude, I'm so fucking turned on. Okay, so I love the Punisher. Oh my god! And I did this thing, and I know we talked about it before. I'm just gonna go back to my childhood characters and read those comics again, and just instead of being so invested in somebody, and Punisher is one of them. I read comics where it's just like I got his essentials. I have his Frank when he dies and turns into like this Frankenstein, but it's like Frank Castle or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I love this. So funny that the wife took a picture of this story mm-hmm. and sent it to me at work, and I was like, "Are you sexting me right now?" Like, are you? I was, oh man, but I like it, right? So a big portion of it is one having this multiple characters coming together again, but not in a massive state like a Civil War and yeah. Avengers. And it's this greedy, gonna confirm how greedy this series is gonna be, right? You can't right. have Punisher without him blowing shit up and killing people with weapons and knives, whatever. On top of that, we got images of him being covered in blood. So
right off
it just shows how dark they're gonna go. Yeah, how dark they're gonna go with Daredevil. Daredevil looks great in his outfit. I need to see more of Daredevil in his outfit, which I think that's what we're gonna get now. And then yeah, man, I'm finally something, at least for me, to be excited for in the Marvel Universe.
Every action, because that was one of the big downfalls. Don't get me wrong, the Netflix one was so good, but like season two or whatever, he didn't wear this outfit hardly at all, or it was just kind of and every action shooting scene that we've seen so far from this new one, he's in that bright red, straight up comic book outfit, and that's very exciting for me.
Yeah, because wasn't it season two where he got his outfit taken away, like stolen, and he's trying to get the imposter? Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude, like, give me fucking Daredevil, you know? Yeah. Like, shit, man. Like,
it was taken by Bullseye, which, by the way, is also coming back for this one. Got it. He's Bullseye. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have a feeling, like, the way they're filming this is, like, Punisher's probably going to be there for, like, one episode, but that's fine. Like, you have him pop in, do one episode, we all get excited, you guys do another Punisher season, that'd be good, too.
Yes. But,
you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be, like you're saying, a Civil War and Avengers where everybody's teaming up, but bring in, like, hey, let's have Luke Cage pop in somewhere, or Jessica Jones, something like that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I honestly think, obviously, with John's acting in some of the massive movies that he's been in and even series, that can we see Punisher on a big screen? And with it, can he hold his own? Fuck yes. He can
absolutely
hold his own. Yeah, yes. So let's get something with him. Let's get him. I'm reading his newer-ish series of him being like a total servant to the Hand, and I think it's phenomenal so far. And I'm only like three issues in, and I'm having a good time with it. I'm not saying go that deep because he's like really, that goes pretty far out there. But you know, like, I don't know, go back to trying to think of Kingpin days, or if you need a villain for Spider-Man, can you?
Thinking I would like for him to pop up in Spider-Man. Right? Yeah.
Because we're talking all this Venom talk, but it's like, hey, come on, man. There's, or him and Harry Osborn, right? So it's like, there's so many, I'm just trying to think of like all these covers, right? You got the most famous cover of him, like was it Scope on Spider-Man or Harry? Or
yep. It's literally on my
Spider-Man,
wall right
on
there.
Spider-Man, right? It's on Spider-Man? Yeah. So it's like, oh, it's what if. Can we just think of like Venom and Punisher going after Spider-Man? Just like,
I never really thought about it. I've got two Punisher comic books on my wall. This is like my Hall of Fame of comic books. One of them is the one where it's what if Punisher killed Spider-Man. The other one is Bullets and Bracelets. It was one of my favorite Amalgam Universe one where Wonder Woman and Punisher team up together. Such a good one.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah. Bullets and Bracelets. Yeah. It's combo. Punisher and Diana working together. It's such a dope cover. Man,
that's hot.
Yeah. Because he's shooting out and then she's blocking the bullets coming at him. It's so sick. Oh,
damn. That one's probably going to go missing one day.
But that would be really fun. So say Spider-Man for whatever reason accidentally, you know, hurt somebody, which of course Tom Holland would be torn up by that. But I mean, that's what Punisher's best at, is being outmatched. Like, he definitely on a one-on-one with Spider-Man you think would get annihilated, but he would be out trapping him and would be a full-on menace for Spider-Man. That would be a lot of fun. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be too greedy though for like the type of Spider-Man we have right now.
That's true.
But but I don't know. Oh, man, something that got kind of quiet. What happened to the Kraven movie?
It's coming out, but after Madam Web, they shut the hell up. Because it's the same company and everything.
I was going to say, it got really, really quiet. And I'm like, did I miss something here? But, I mean, shit. I mean, whatever you do with that, though, I wouldn't mind having a Kraven and Punisher standoff, you know?
We also have a new Venom movie coming out this year, which, again, they're just being like, after Madam Web, not saying a damn thing.
Let's not talk about that one either,
Did you ever sit down and watch Madam Web yet?
No, I seen a couple scenes and I refuse to watch trash. I would watch it for Sydney Sweeney, but that's about it.
And she's not even in the movie enough, honestly, and her lines are terrible. That's the writing. It is worth watching just for the laughs because it is so awful Then yeah, I did find myself laughing at some of the choices they made.
Man, that's tough. I don't think I've fully seen Morbius yet, so I feel like I need to see that first.
I think Morbius at least think of there is like, oh, okay, people are trying. Yeah. You know, but I don't even think they were trying with Madame Web. I mean, like, there's like three Pepsi commercials in that movie. It's crazy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like Pepsi clear, because they like they fought on top of a Pepsi building, and Pepsi sign is, spoiler alert, kills the bad guy. That same building you noticed earlier, there's a car accident. You're like, oh, they're next to the building that they fight on later on. And then like later on, she's talking. She's like tapping her Pepsi can while she's talking to her friends the whole time. And they're like, holy shit, gotcha, guys, Pepsi.
Oh, my gosh. What the fuck?
I'm going to get a Coca-Cola after this just to piss you guys off. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I seen the ending where she is blind now, and the other females come into the apartment. And
yeah,
what was it? She said, bless you, before the one of them sneezed.
Yes.
Yeah, so is that it? Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. I was done.
Yeah. Stupid. Oh, and it's stupid. So funny because like the final shot is like them in the future. By the way, all the super women or spider women, I'm sorry, are only in the movie for maybe 30 seconds total. All the trailers and everything advertise them. Sydney Sweeney, 30 seconds maybe total. And they're all from flash forwards of things that'll eventually happen if there was a Madame Web 2, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then the final shot, like it goes through the city and then shows them all standing on a building. Like, that's the final shot in cool roll credits. That shot of going through the building is literally from Spider-Man 3. From Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, that old-ass shot, they literally use the same exact shot again. And it's like, why recycle that? You don't need to.
Wow, man, that's so crazy. Whoever directed that movie should just fucking end their career.
Yeah. They should be done. Yeah, they should never make another movie again. It was that bad.
God, I want to check out this.
We're talking comic books. Let's talk about a historic sale this last weekend. At the Heritage Auction, they've been doing all comic books, and a copy of Action Comics number 1, the first appearance of Superman, sold for $6 million. That is a brand new record. And then also, and that was rated 8.5, which is considered like one of the most exquisite copies of that comic book. But they also had an 8.0 restored comic. It's the very first restored comic to sell for $576,000.
Crazy.
Now, you have a lot of collectibles. I have a lot of collectibles. What would you say your most prized, expensive collectible is?
All right. So, expensive. I could go with expensive. I'm looking around my room, right?
I know. I mean, honestly, you can just look around in any corner.
Yeah, I would say my expensive is I have a pop that's worth, at the time, I don't know what it is now. I think it was like $600 or $700, and it's the Cheshire Cat riding in a teacup. I do have the teacup set. You got the Queen, Alice, Mad Hatter, and then the Cheshire Cat. But the Cheshire Cat specifically was a WonderCon exclusive, and you get it from their website, Funko's website, and that website's trash for most times when they release. on top of it just being not just the store exclusive one. So
yeah,
that's probably my most expensive. But I don't know if it's like, when you say a prize, I think of like how I feel about it, you know,
like the house is burning down and you had to grab one of your collectibles kind of
thing. Oh God, let me look, because it's gonna be in this room. Right,
for me, while you're doing that, I have two that I think are probably valuable. So I have a original Coleco football game, like the actual console itself. It's the old Coleco one that's from like the, I think it was the early 70s that one came out. And it's literally, it's the same model that my dad used to play when he was a kid, and so I got that. And then my other thing that I've always kind of prized myself is when I worked at Toys R Us, Lego came in and built a full Star Wars battle scene. And as that was out, and then I ended up taking that home. So I had the full Star Wars built out Lego battle scene, Millennium Falcon, X-Wing, all that stuff like that. And I took it home, and it's now sitting on, I dismantled it because of, you had to, but it's up above, but those are Legos directly from the Lego manufacturer, built by Lego manufacturers, and assembled by the Lego team. And so I think that's probably prized to the right people. And for me, I'm just like, cool, Star Wars. but yeah. So I think
it's probably dang, right. That's cool. All right. I got one. Okay, this is gonna sound corny, but you wouldn't think this would be coming from me, but I would have to say, because a little, I would say some of my merchandise from BlizzCon. And I say this because BlizzCon is something like extremely special to me. It's one thing out of the year that makes me really happy. Like, you know, really super joyful. Yeah. Being around the people and just that environment. And I hate, like, I always do two times now. The last day I'll take my last stroll when everybody's leaving, just to like be in that moment. So like I'm looking at my shelf, right? And I think one of them would definitely be my BlizzCon Pachamari thing from Overwatch. It's Blizzard colors, blue and white, but it says BlizzCon on the top, and it's something like not worth shit. But yeah, BlizzCon, I just hope it doesn't fade away. It's literally the one thing in the whole year that brings me, I don't want to say joy because that's bad because I got family and all, but like just personal like grief, joy, you know, it's all about special. Me, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you do that last. I do too. I do that last walk.
And
I remember this last one, just kind of like going through all the World of Warcraft stuff and ending up at that big sword and kind of just like taking it in one last time. Like, oh, this has to sustain me for a year.
And I hate walking through that door after. Man. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. God, I love BlizzCon. This is going to be a bigger year than ever, I think, because they expecting, have a lot of stuff announced.
Yeah.
Are going to be announced. That'll be cool. Yeah. That's a good one, man. That's really good. That does remind me. I do have up here, actually, framed my very first. It was a Star Trek convention. My very first convention passes. Me and Jonathan have badges from that. Nice. The actual room key for the Hyatt that we were at. I've got all that framed right there. So that's probably, and an autograph from Tim Russ, which is a Tuvok. It's all right there. So that's a good one, too.
That's cool.
Jonathan, just because we were so excited, and honestly, you know how it is when you're at a convention, you're just spending money. He bought like, it's like a 7x6 poster, vinyl poster of Tim Russ, of Tuvok. And it's signed by Tim Russ as well. So every so often you'll see it behind him, but it's like, it takes up a giant wall. It's huge. And it's just a giant Tuvok. And it's like, when you're there, you're like, I'll figure out a place for it. But now you're like, this is a huge poster to find a spot for. So, the poor kid.
That's cool. But talking about, going back to this comic now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, so it kind of proves that like, the comics are a special thing to still collect. I do it myself, right? Had me and Sammy communicate with each other when we're going to the comic book store. Mm-hmm. And fuck that guy, too, when he's commenting on our podcast. But everyone's look, if anybody's out there listening to this, Sam is just a troll. Okay, we need to find a way to block that guy.
I agree.
Thank you. So he recently, I was like, hey, I'm in my Punisher phase. I'm going back to my roots. He got me a couple covers that were really cool. I like to look for variant covers and alternate art ones, whatever the case. I have I spent a little more. I think I only spent 20 on it, but it was like an artist doing a She-Hulk variant cover or whatever. And it's beautiful because it's watercolors. So I look for things like that. Also looking at what's important into the series. Also, I missed out on a Spawn 350. Where it finally gives the helm to She-Spawn. And I was like, fuck, that's an important one to get. Missed on it, whatever. But I'm not out there to like chase it down. It's kind of like when I see it. Special ones to me that I have right now are the Disney covers of some of the most popular Marvel comics. So Fantastic Four, cool. You got Pete coming out, Pete and them. I got, actually Pete dressed up as Thanos for the Infinity Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Cover with the gauntlet and the rays everywhere. So it makes me think like, can these comics now be at this level, you know, eventually? Can we expect with maybe Spider-Man like Silk coming into the future, right?
Silk's a good one to pick. Like, it's a good time to start buying Silk stuff because she's going to be in Spider-Man 3, the video game. Yes, and I think she's kind of, after you introduce Miles Morales, she's next.
So I don't know. What do you do? You buy some comics here or whatever. What you got going on? Like, yeah.
So the way I like to look at it is like, I'm not going to spend $6 million on a comic, but
no,
there is that one comic. I think we all have that one comic when we're at comic cons or at maybe the older shops that you're like, if I find this comic, I'm willing to spend some cash on it.
Yeah.
For me, it's Thor 337, the first appearance of Beta Ray Bill. Cause I like Beta Ray Bill a lot.
Yeah.
The cover's dope. It's Beta Ray Bill like swinging down the hammer. That comic in particular, Thor has lost his hammer over and over again. That's kind of his gimmick. But that one, when somebody else can pick it up and gains his abilities, and then when Odin's like, he's better than you right now, actually deserves it. And then eventually Odin like gives him his own, stuff like that. So it's such a big iconic moment. And I think Beta Ray Bill is a character. His face makes it to where he can't be really, he's hard to adapt for mainstream people. Like they're like, oh, he's a horse guy. He's so much more than that. But yeah. I think he's like worthy of being a main character in the MCU. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's a big one for me is if I were to find that issue of Thor, I'd be putting down some serious cash. Nice. What about you? What's your like, okay, I expect to see this at a Comic-Con someday and I will be buying it.
That's tough. I'm not sure.
Lately I've been looking at Funko Pops. It's funny because like when I go to Comic-Cons now, I look for like rare Funko Pops that I want. But normally, comic books is something that's always good to keep an eye out. But yeah, Beta Ray Bill for sure for me. But yeah, Silk's a good one. Yeah. That was a good call out there. Keeping on those two.
Yeah, Silk. Damn, you got me thinking now. Who would I really like fall for if I like saw an image? Okay, I got one. There was an issue of Wolverine and Hulk in white suits.
White tops.
Right.
Of course. Yeah.
If I saw that, I would fucking chase that down. On top of, there's another issue, super old. There's a Wolverine. It's just his face with the you know what? Fuck it. Scratch that. I know which one I want. My older brother used to have this one, and I know he had it in the closet. I wish I would have just stole it from him. But it's the cover where Venom is holding Spider-Man's skull, and you see like the ripped up mask. That's the issue I'd want. Do you have that one behind you?
No, I have the other. I have the other one. I have the other one where it's like Venom and Spider-Man like fist to fist. I have that.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if it was the skull one or not.
Yeah. I used to see that when I was younger, and now I like see it now, and I like. Fucking man, I wish I would have just stole that shit.
Let's stick with the comic book world here. We have an announcement that for Fantastic Four, they're going to be using Shia LaBeouf as the Silver Surfer, because I think it's leaning into the fan theory that this Fantastic Four is not part of our main universe MCU. They're from another universe, and then they're brought into our MCU. What are your thoughts on them using Shia LaBeouf for the Silver Surfer for this round? So
first of all, I think it's interesting because I heard that they might be doing like specific comics to read to kind of get yourself into this Fantastic Four, and one of them being like literally the original Fantastic Four issue. So it got me thinking like, okay, so you're going to say it's not our universe, but it is the original. Did we not get original characters prior in these movies? So I don't know, whatever. But we never really got like a good Fantastic Four. So. Fine, whatever. I don't mind that we're getting this Silver Surfer because there's a backing to it. Okay. My issue was when we're going to change characters for no fucking apparent reason, then I have problems with it. Now, this is a real character. There is this love interest to the original real Silver Surfer.
It's the wife of the
North. So then it's the wife, right? And they have this whatever connection that they're showing in the comic books, got married, whatever. Then that tells me, where's this Silver Surfer at, right? We're going to get this one, right? I mean, you're just going to not? I mean, I feel like that's kind of weak. So I'm hoping with how PG things kind of are now, will this Silver Surfer look like Silver Surfer, essentially nude in a way? Or is it going to be kind of like,
I think so.
You know, whatever. Right? It would have to be.
Well, because if you look at the artwork from Shala when she's the Silver Surfer, she's the same thing as a regular Silver Surfer with the big hair this time. And
yeah,
I think they could tastefully do that.
So again, I think I'm totally fine with it. For the fact that there was a blueprint for this character already. And it's not because we're just changing it just to change shit.
And that's a biggie for me too, is there's definitely some, why invent things when there's already really good examples of it out there? This is a good example of that. Shala's out there. Plus the fan theory, which is almost fully backed up by Marvel at this point, is because you can't have Iron Man. And then, in the 60s, when my dad was hanging out with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, there was also this group called the Fantastic Four that fought Galactus. Like, it doesn't make sense that you'd have something so big. So if they came from another universe, and here's the thing, Galactus wins, because it would be like a 1960s like Earth, Galactus wins and they barely escape, then that makes a bunch of sense. Silver Surfer could come with them. Galactus could be the threat that's coming for their universe next or whatever. And like Galactus is kind of chasing the Fantastic Four at that point. Then we could see that Dr. Doom has always been a thing on Earth, because we've already had references to Dr. Doom in the MCU. So yeah, let's have that be a thing here. But yeah, we know it's already been confirmed that Galactus is the main villain for the new Fantastic Four movie.
Okay.
Make it to where he's chasing them from their universe to this new one.
Yeah, maybe. Huh. That's interesting. Hopefully they can pull that off to look great.
Yes.
It's kind of scary with the fact that how massive Galactus is, and we've seen like the CGI work on like Ant-Man 3, that it could look really, really bad.
Yeah.
But we also got to see how Mr. Fantastic looks too, with stretching his arms and stuff like that. Yeah. So we'll see. I have faith in how the thing will look. But ultimately, yeah, just give me some Daddy Doom. That's all I care about on the big screen. Ain't We've been talking about truth. That forever, you know.
Ain't that the truth?
God damn, he's got to be the Galactic is a massive individual, but really for presence, and I think can carry this franchise like Thanos would be Doctor Doom.
I fully agree with you. Yeah, a multi movie bad guy would be Doctor Doom, and he's unique in the sense that he's almost like Loki in the sense where at a certain point he can help. Like there are like when him and Doctor Strange team up together to go to hell to try to save Doctor Strange's mom, or I'm sorry, Doctor Doom's mom. That whole thing, they're you're like, oh, yeah. Doctor Doom's a good guy, and then you find out that he's going to sacrifice Doctor Strange. They're like, oh, okay, there he is. That's the asshole. But there are times where it's like, if his country's in danger, he'll fight alongside the Avengers, of course.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones, or I even have a pop of him, is the infamous Doom, where he's basically like the next Iron Man or whatever. Which kind of is anyway, but his suit is just that much more enhanced, and he's kind of being somewhat of a good guy. So, yeah, I'll see. But then, who would be that threat? Don't ask me this question because I don't know. But who would be? I don't know. I'd be put in spot, but I'm putting you on spot.
Yeah.
If Doom somehow converted to that, right, as a good guy, maybe movie three. Okay, we'll just say. Who makes him that much raid to flip? Like, who makes
Galactus.
Him flip?
Galactus. So make it to where. We're introduced to Dr. Doom as a good guy that's maniacal. Like, what if he's, what if he's like, what if Galactus shows up and all of a sudden he's like, oh no, now my country's actually in threat. Let me join with the Avengers, kind of come out of hiding essentially. Maybe that could be, I would like for his introduction to actually be him trying to steal Wakanda's vibranium, because I think that's more accurate to what he would do.
Okay.
But that's a big enough threat. Or a Nihilus. Like, if you have the whole Annihilation storyline coming in, that would be it. Maybe Ultron coming back, which I think that should definitely be a thing. Something like that.
Really? You think that should be a thing?
Yeah, because in the comic books, like what we got of Ultron was like so tip of the iceberg. He goes to space, becomes a leader of an entire culture. Like, let's get that. I think that'd be cool. Ultron's a really cool character.
But what do you think? How can... if he steals vibranium, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think that would look like for Wakanda? Like, are we going to get Shuri again?
I honestly don't even think we're going to get Shuri again. I don't think Shuri's going to be the next Black Panther. I don't think she's going to be Black Panther. Yeah. I think they're going to do a little bit of timey-wimey stuff, and we're going right to T'Challa 2.
Okay. Yeah, because...
Is that what you would want, or would you want Shuri to take the mantle again?
No, I really want to see just Black Panther again.
And frankly, for being honest, like, Wakanda Forever, I think, did a good job of kind of, like, giving Chadwick Boseman a good send-off, but...
Yeah.
As a story, I don't think it did good at all.
Man, I did not like that movie at all. It's such a upsetting because that first one. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Unfortunate things happen.
It was a tough situation.
That first one was great. It's like a top five Marvel movie for me. It's tough to come from that.
And Shuri just doesn't command the screen the same way Chadwick Boseman did. And I'm hoping that they can. I think they're just going to go right to like teenager Iron or like Spider-Man vibe. T'Challa, where he's like trying to figure out what it's like to be a king, an adult, living in your dead shadows.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be, Killmonger's definitely going to be an influence. I think Killmonger's going to be the one he sees in the afterlife all the time. I think that'll be the case.
All right, cool. Yeah.
If you know what, they could use, God, you met him actually. I've been talking about how you met him this entire time. King Ezekiel. Him being our new Black Panther for the video games, make it to where they see him in the afterlife, because God, he is such a good Black Panther. I love that the fact that he's going to be in the new 1943 video game is Black Panther. What do you think about that?
Oh, that could be kind of cool. Yeah, I could dig him for that. Why not? I can't think of anyone else that's better than that. But it's funny. I'm going backwards for a minute, but after this, why not? Shit. Yeah.
Let's do it.
You had randomly something popped up in my head. I know what comic I want.
So delayed.
And I wouldn't even have the money to do this. the Omni-Man, right? Invincible. I think it was one of the first ones, but they have alternate covers and it's them covered in blood. It's all ripped up, super sexy looking. Is Omni-Man's version, because they have an invisible version as well. Mm-hmm. And I think they might even have Adam Eve version as well, also. But the Omni-Man one,
Have you read those comics?
I'm those specific copies or like the
Invincible comic series? Run.
I'm on let's see. I'm past of where we are with the TV series. Okay. Let's see. I have it here. I'm curious. I think I'm on like volume 15, 16.
Oh, okay. I think I need to dive in because I know what happens story wise just from, you know, just kind of knowing like things.
Yeah.
I know what happens story wise, but I'm like, this shit is so well written in the show that I think I just need to start getting those comics and reading them. I might get the omnibuses. Yeah.
That's what it is. I couldn't wait anymore. So then I just started buying them.
Yeah. You know. Let's shift into the review for season two. I don't want to spoil it for you. You haven't finished season two, right?
I have not.
Yeah. I will say it didn't end in a real satisfying way. I feel like the final episode, specifically the final episode, I think either should have been the start of season three or or they should have ended with one episode back, because they're shifting things in the Invincible story without spoiling what happens, but they're shifting things to the galactic problem now, right? Because we're kind of beyond the point where, is Mark a superhero or how's he fit into the Guardian stuff and yada, yada, yada. We're beyond that a little bit. We're at the point now where you need to worry about the Vultramite problem. You need to worry about the Vultramite leader, I'll say.
We're got the Vultramite problem now, right? Is what you're saying?
We have had now, so we know that Mark was given a task. You have to replace your dad in prepare Earth for the invasion. And he's basically been saying no. But then we just had somebody, you know, comic book wise, we just had somebody come down and being like, hey, just a reminder, get your shit done. And she wrecked him. And to a degree, even when the military is like, she's faster than Ultraman is or Omni-Man is, just wrecked him to where it kind of reminded you that like, there's such an army threat up there. You have to prepare for it. And we also just got a hint to the fact that there might be a rebellious side of that army that, of course, will be very important. But coming up.
Yeah, so it will be.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets pretty wild.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Kerry Payton, by the way. I just reminded because he plays Black Samson in Invincible. So Kerry Payton is the guy you met at Comic-Con that he's King Ezekiel. So I season two was really good. I don't like the fact that they took a break in the middle. I think that was kind of jarring story-wise. The fact that they brought back a character that wasn't part of the Vultramites to be a villain at the end of the season two was less satisfying than I wanted. But
brought back the most character, huh?
Yeah, they brought back Sterling's character. I can't remember his name. He's the one that makes the portals.
Okay.
Let me find his name. That's going to bug me. I don't know it.
So yeah, but that's kind of a thing later. Hold on, without spoiler.
They brought back Angstrom as the main villain for the end of season two. But I just think he's not cool. Like, he's cool as a villain, and he makes sense comic book wise to have multiple villains like that just keep popping, like the twins and stuff like that, the cloning twins and stuff.
Okay, so that's what I got with the series, cloning twins.
Oh, we're past that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's cool to bring those guys up and stuff like that. But for him to be the bad guy for the end of season two, when just the episode before you introduced the first Vultramite that showed, you know, really the might of the Vultramites, I think that was a shame.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
And then we did get Mark killing his first person. And that was a big moment for him, because then he's like, I don't want to be my dad. And on the other side of that, we have Omni-Man that's like, I should have done better by Mark and Earth. So it's kind of going both ways on that. I don't know. This is so good. I really feel like it should be paid attention to more, though. And I think the story is really good. I would give the season two as a whole probably a solid 8 out of 10. The landing wasn't great. It is still pretty high. It was very good. It's Invincible.
Yeah.
And I know what's to come. Like, what's to come, you had to have this season. To prepare, like, shift the mentality away from Earth into protecting Earth as a whole and the galactic problem. And specifically the Vultramites. Like, this is our very first kind of foray into Vultramites as a society. And they have traditions, they have lineage, and stuff like that that's really important that we'll get to eventually, you know.
A little on the different, not so main story, but it will be. What's Mark's love life like by the end of the series?
That's the other thing, too, is he now is done with Amber, okay. Which, you know, that was never going to work. That was kind of one of those things where it's like, why don't you guys just divorce already? One of those relationships, because she's a normal person living her life. She's going through college,
yeah.
And he's having to leave the planet multiple times.
Yeah,
so he needs somebody a little bit more on his level. And I think that's what's coming next.
Okay.
We were given a hint to that too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. any questions or thoughts on Invincible Season 2? I know you still have to finish it up.
Yeah, I still have to finish it. I'm kind of just ready now that you kind of explain where we're at with the end of it. I'm really ready for season 3. Looking forward to what's to come with that and the whole Vultramite race. Yeah.
Me too. They haven't introduced the leader of the Vultramites yet, but once people start to see him and see like, oh, Omni-Man's not the worst guy, you know,
that's
gonna be really cool, right? What he can do. And then start to show more of that, like the rebellious force that's out there, that the old man and stuff like that. And then, the Vultramite history and stuff like that's cool. So I'm excited for people to start to learn about all that. I think that's going to be great.
I know I'm kind of spoiling this, but was Omni-Man left out of the whole season?
No.
Okay.
Omni-Man is in prison as the end of season 2. But he's not alone. So that's kind of a hint to that. I don't want to spoil it for you and for a lot of people still watching.
Well, I mean, I know a lot, but I'm trying to fill in the gap of where I started reading. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in there and they're getting him ready for execution.
Okay.
But yeah, I give the season as an 8 out of 10 as a whole. Again, I want to recommend this. If you guys have VR, I would say that's the best way to watch it.
Get out of here. What a flex. Okay. What a flex.
I'm just saying.
If you have VR and you want to put it on a 100 screen, you know, TV while you just lay on your couch, why not?
Yeah.
100 inch screen, whatever.
I'm just saying that Prime, I think, is the best way to, is the best so far of all the VR streamers I've seen. Prime has done the best job. Which they don't do a good job on much other thing else, but that they have done a really good job there. And I'm looking forward to The Boys. I'm going to watch The Boys on that same theater screen. So I think it's a really good way to do it. What a flex. Shut up. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's Frank flexing right now.
No, it's not.
I just sit on my couch. I picked the biggest wall in my house and I'll just, fill it up with TV.
It's fair. That's true. And then the other thing I want to make sure to mention too is Star Trek Discovery. Do a quick review for that one. We had the premiere of season 5, the final season for Star Trek Discovery. And so it has a lot to do, right? It has to wrap up one of the more chaotic Star Treks in history and kind of set us up for Starfleet Academy, which is going to be set after the events of Star Trek Discovery. And what I really loved about this premiere is it felt like a Chris Pine Star Trek. You know, the movies, the newer movies?
Yeah.
It was a lot of action, not a lot of talk. We have clear storylines that we're going to be facing, like, the love story with Suru and it's clearly, you know, facing in one direction, but it's a treasure hunt for the most part. Like, they know they're going to go for this treasure hunt. They're going to find the ability to create life. It's just like treasure that they're going to go look for. And it's like, oh, that's fun. That's a good way to just have a season. That's not like, oh, we're dealing with some threat that's coming into our planet. It's just a good old treasure hunt. I kind of like that idea too. So
okay.
It was a good start. After some reflection, I'd say it's probably 8.5 out of 10. Just that premiere episode, we'll see how it goes. Because Star Trek Discovery has a real up and down roller coaster, man. Sometimes it hits hard, and sometimes it don't hit at all.
Yeah.
So, and after seeing Paramount's efforts on season 2 of Halo, I'm needing something better.
I'm a couple episodes into that, and. Come on, man. Like, we love Halo for a reason, and you're not giving it to us. You're giving us a bunch of story that's kind of whatever. I mean, but when you have those action scenes, like when Halo first started and it's in that fog, and you're like, man, you guys are, to me at least, you guys are really fucking nailing it. But then you really just make it a bore, you know?
Fall of Reach episode, if you watched that yet? The Fall of Reach?
No, I have not.
It's like the best episode they ever make. It is so damn good. It's so good.
Okay.
But then the finale, it pisses me off uncontrollably because they kill all the wrong characters and they leave alive all the wrong characters. They introduce the new villain. Now, I won't say much more on that for you.
All right, they introduce
a new villain, but they, again, that's one of those things where it's like, start season three with that new villain. Don't be like, don't worry about the Covenant. Here's the new big bad that you all have to worry about. And it's like, that's the finale. Why are you doing that?
Hopefully we can. Who knows? Whatever.
All right, let's end things off with our recommendations for the week. My recommendation is going to be go watch Fallout. It's coming out this week, and I'm so excited for that. Also on Prime, so watch it on VR. Big flex.
Wow, okay, for us little people. God, I'll watch it on my cell phone at work. Oh, man.
What's your recommendation for the week?
Let's see. My recommendation is, it's getting a lot of hate, but I still really enjoy it. The season one came out, I don't know, a couple days ago. The 28th, I believe, of March, Suicide Squad with Joker storyline. I think we're getting a lot of backlash on it because it's not what we expected, but it's still good fun. It adds more, it'll add more story to the next Brainiac you have to kill. And Joker's in it now if you want to grind hours. I wouldn't know. You want to know why?
You saw him unlocked him yet?
Yeah, fucking stupid fucking plot twist when I downloaded this shit. So you know about it, clearly.
Yep.
Fucking mind-blowing, right? I'm like, okay, I'm ready for it. I've been grinding my characters. I almost got my third character to max level. Like, fucking ready to play some Joker and kill the second Brainiac. No, sir. First, you have to grind a couple hours doing the same shit you've been fucking doing for the last 30 hours to unlock Joker. So then you can play his story and kill Brainiac. I'm like, you fucking cocksuckers, okay? Who does that? You got to start off with the Joker and give me something to want to keep playing, you know?
I know. Joker should be it should be right out the gate, like a sorry, here's Joker kind of thing. Not like, hey, you know the game you didn't like? Do more.
And it's like you start off with a kind of cool cartoony cutscene. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, whatever. But I really do like the season where Scarecrow type of item themes. Big Scarecrow fan here, so I'm starting to like unlocking those weapons. But so it's still the same kind of feel. But right, we love our microtransactions and shit. For $10, you can unlock Joker instantly and not have to grind anything. And then
that is some good old horseshit right there.
Yeah, it's real horseshit. And I bought the season pass, so I gotta get back on it. Yeah, they had some good outfits this time.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah. My Harley looking pretty sexy. So, yeah.
There you go. There's your recommendation, guys. Go grind up some Joker.
It's kind of a recommendation.
kind of a complaint. All right, guys. Just a reminder, Capital Creative Showcase, April 20th. The Rancho Cordova, May the 4th. Esports event going to be May the 4th. Come hang out with us. And it should be a lot of fun. And we'll see you guys out there. All right, you guys have a good one. Bye.